Okay, let's get in the Word. Would you please, in your Bibles, in your phones, in your iPads, however you've got it, turn to or go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And I want to preface this for a moment in this message. Of course, we're getting close to Easter. And I think sometimes our expectation of what happens with Easter, you know, we know it's, okay, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus, and candies and gifts and all the other stuff, but it gets a little camouflaged. I want to tear into this a little bit this morning in a little bit different way as we prepare for honoring Jesus and what he did, you know, as we celebrate. It's not really a celebration for us. It was a horror for him. But as we celebrate the purpose of what Jesus did this coming week and the raising from the dead, it accomplished everything for us. And the title of this message today is called A Curse Without Cause. A Curse Without Cause. And I want you to keep in mind, if you would, the whole reason why we're here is about Jesus and what he did. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. 26, verse 2. And I've got New King James that I read out of, okay? Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. I want to say it again. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow. And you get the picture. A curse without cause shall not alight. Now when you think about this, you're going to think, okay, it's a little cryptic maybe. What does that mean? The definition in Hebrew, I'm going to give you kind of the whole generalization of what this means. A curse without cause shall not alight. First of all, a curse. Curse in the Eastern mindset, Middle Eastern. And this is where our Western minds don't really grasp a lot of times what the word says or the meaning or the depth of the word. But the Middle Eastern mindset, where this, the Word of God originated, or is this idea or this speaking of curse, this term curse and what a curse is. Curse means to doom to destruction. To doom to destruction. It's somebody with a greater power or a greater aspect or understanding or wisdom or somebody with a greater authority can doom to destruction by a curse or via a curse, a spoken curse, a word curse, somebody to destruction in their lives. It also means coming out from the protection of someone greater. So it's coming, if you put it all together in the understanding, a curse is coming out from the protection of someone in a greater authority into destruction. That's the meaning of a curse in the Eastern mindset. A lot of times our Western minds think, oh, big deal. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything in my life. Yes, it does. It still does. A curse is a curse whether you're East or West on this planet. It's important that we understand what a curse is and what the meaning is. That's why I want to kind of break this down today. Now, a curse without cause shall not alight. A curse, with all that definition, without cause. A curse without reason, literally means without reason, or a curse undeserved, shall not come. So let me fit all the definition in here. Like a flitting sparrow and a flying swallow. So a curse that brings you out from protection into destruction without reason, or that is undeserved, will not come. Period. Okay, what's that got to do with us? I want to talk about a curse without cause and how it affects our lives or doesn't affect it. Here's the issue. Christians, born-again believers, people who love God, love Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, many times live their lives out under the curse. Cursed! Destruction is happening. Feel doomed every time you turn around. Something's breaking. You're losing something. Somebody dies. It's all kinds of things. You're sick. It's the curse, in effect. Why do so many Christians have to live this way? They don't. It doesn't have to be a reality in our lives. It's not supposed to be. You see, Jesus is the curse breaker. But we don't get it. We don't understand. First of all, we don't understand the power of a curse. And second of all, we don't understand that Jesus is a curse breaker. And consequently, I'm not talking about this church, but most people, most Christians, live in the effects or the symptoms or the downflow of a life in the curse and wonder, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Why is this a part of my life? When we don't have to. But we see it all the time. I certainly hear it all the time. I was in a pastor's meeting this week, and I had shared this earlier this morning. I'm in a part of a pastor's group. What we're trying to do is bring unity to the area. Among all the pastors, we lay our finite doctrinal issues aside. It's what we agreed on. We come in the door and we don't push our own personal doctrine. The only doctrine that we adhere to in this meeting or in these group of pastors is Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, period. The word is true and is salvation by grace. Now everybody's definition of grace is a little different. But that's what we adhere to. There's no politics, there's no other things that go along with this. But it's to bring unity and how we work together, how we can network together, how we can help each other, how we can be a blessing to each other. Instead of bringing division, we're far greater together than we are separate. And yet, I had a number of them, and they looked at me, ask why people die when they pray for them, why they're sick, why they're having to deal with sickness, why these troubles are all coming. And I will tell you flat out, I said, you were very explicit as a part, I'm on a leadership team of this. I said, you're very explicit that we were not bringing doctrine. I said, you're asking questions of doctrine. I said, you really want to know? And they said, yes. And so I shared grace. Now, here's the problem. Wasn't accepted. You can't get into somebody their freedom from the curse if they don't want it. Can't do it. You can't twist their arm. You can't make it happen. You can't go against their will. Nobody can. And so we left the meeting and they were still sick and there were still problems and there were still questions and it's like, you can only do what you can do. Hopefully there was some seed planted. So that's really the big question is, why do so many Christians live under the curse? Because a curse without cause won't come. It's not supposed to. Jesus, if Jesus really is the curse breaker, then the curse, and thinking about this the way that the Eastern mindset is not a part of our lives. That's anything with the curse. Would you jump with me to Deuteronomy 28 for for a minute? Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm just going to read this real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 28, because we need to know where this comes from. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. I'm only going to read a little bit of this. God is speaking through Moses to the Israelites, and he's speaking to them about the law. He's speaking to them, these are the commandments I gave you. These are the commandments that I've laid on you to really to show you what righteousness is. And if you learn to live by obeying my command, my word, if you learn to live this way, you're really living in righteousness. You're behaving, performing righteously. And you know what? On top of that, I can bless you because you're actually seeing visibly what righteousness is. So the Lord says through Moses in verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord or the word of God, and to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then he goes on to say, in all the areas that they will be blessed because of righteousness, because they're obeying the law. All these ways, financially and in their families and in their property and in their health and in their protection from attack and all these kind of things. I mean, I'm talking, it is amazing. And then he says, jumping over to verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today. And what he's saying is, if you decide or choose to live in sin, if you decide to go against what I've commanded you, which is righteousness, and you choose to live in sin, here's what happens. Then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. There it is. And he goes down through a list of awful things, horrible things, and they're curses, they're destruction. They're out from under the protection of who God is and a greater authority and his word. It's destruction in every way because of sin. Not righteousness, but sin. Now, everybody sins. We're born into it. Thank you, Adam. But there isn't a one of us that would not have done, really isn't. We think we wouldn't, because we're all hindsighted. There's not a one of us that wouldn't have done what Adam and Eve did. They made the wrong choice, and they messed up all mankind. God knew it. He already had the plan laid out. So sin came in to the world, and sin became a part of what our lives, affected our lives deeply. Now, the curse because of sin, after the law was given, began to take over. People disobeyed, people sinned, and the curse took effect. Why do Christians live under the curse? Because they don't know yet that this was dealt with. That Jesus became the curse breaker. He derailed all this stuff for us. None of this is based on our performance or our behavior. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law and the commandments and this whole picture of righteousness of what God is, but to fulfill this for you. Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Man, this is my heart, my hope, is to see the freedom that we've been given. Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 10. And our brother Paul is very explicit here. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, he's speaking about those who are cognizant of the law, the religious understanding of the law, the Mosaic law, and he's speaking about those in the world who don't know the law because they're still under the law of righteousness. So everybody who, where Jesus is not Lord and Savior, where Jesus isn't the curse breaker in your life, where faith righteousness hasn't taken place, they're under a curse. Period. And they're operating under the curse, and they're living under the curse. And what you're seeing in our country, in our area, in all kinds of, are the results of living under the curse. It's the curse effect going on. Paul goes on. Verse 11, but that no one is justified or made righteous by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith in Jesus, by faith in his accomplishment, by faith in what he provided, by faith in his performance. Verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them, the law and the commandments, shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ Jesus has, past tense, already redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse or become cursed for us. Period. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, referencing the cross. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham that comes upon us is, I want to read this, Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. When God spoke to Abraham and he said, in your seed, and he's speaking about the Messiah that would come through his lineage, in your seed, all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice, my word. All the nations of the world shall be blessed because of Jesus, the curse breaker. Now, it's important that we see how this transpired. So go to John's Gospel. John chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 12. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's explaining how this is going to happen. Start with verse 31. Now, and let's just look at it as this week. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, removed, the power of the devil and the power of him to promote sin will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. I want to explain this in the Greek for a minute. Obviously, Jesus didn't draw everybody to himself because not everybody's going to get born again. Not everybody is going to enter eternal life by choice, right? Can we all agree? Sadly, what it means is, and again, this is a synopsis of the Greek, now when I'm lifted up, I will draw the hearts of all people to myself because I'm drawing all the judgment of God to myself for all the sin for every human being from creation until the end. I'm taking it on. This, he said, signifying by what death he would die. So here's what happened. All of us were born under the curse. Though this happened nearly 2,000 years ago, until we got born again, we were under the curse. Period. Till we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then the curse had a cause. And we deserved it because of sin. But Jesus took what we deserved, this curse that had a cause, had a reason, that was a dooming to destruction, took us out from under any protection. Jesus took it all on him. And Jesus became sin. Every perversion, every sickness, everything that was corrupt, everything that was disgusting and foul, everything that was immoral, everything that was evil. Everything. Everything represented sin's curse and the result of the curse. He didn't just absorb it, he became it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became cursed for us. The torture of the crucifixion was one aspect. The whip that tore his back, the crown of thorns, and the going to hell was everything that we deserved from the curse and the bondage of sin. Jesus took it all on him. And he took it all into him. This is a hard thing to wrap your minds around, because he was perfect in righteousness. He was the only perfect human being. But he was God in his spirit. Took this all on him and became this for us. And if you want to think about it like this, even though the crucifixion was nearly 2,000 years ago, it was sin that put him there. He did this willingly for every single human being that would receive him, believe him and receive him. In essence, you can say that we helped pound the nails, every one of us. We helped beat the crown onto his head. We helped with the whip. We did. We mocked him, laughed at him, scorned him. We, because of our sin, were a part of this. And yet love and a courage I can't even fathom held him to that cross. And all the shame and the guilt, the condemnation, all the penalties from the curse that were due us, he took on himself. He really is a warrior king. One of the most beautiful books that I've ever read was written by E.W. Kenyon. He was a grace teacher back in the early 1900s. And he wrote a book called From the Cross to the Throne. I recommend you read it if you ever have a chance. It's a powerful book of grace and mercy and love and this exchange and the reality of it. Jesus took our curse. And what he did was he paroled us from sin's curse. We got paroled because what we deserved, he took and brought us into the protection of God through our salvation and into the blessings of God. And this is all based on his performance. And it has nothing to do with us except believe what he did personally. That's all. John 8, verse 32 said, and you shall know, you shall, in the Greek it means to really understand. This is to understand in your head and your heart the truth. And the truth shall make you free. We shall understand that we are free from the aspect, every symptom, every effect of the curse, because the curse has no cause, no reason in our lives anymore. It's actually, when we got born again, what we deserved is now undeserved. We don't deserve the curse or the effects of the curse anymore. So you can truly say that a curse without cause will not come. So anything that looks like it's a part of the curse, we understand the truth now and the reality of what Jesus did and became. The effects of the curse in our lives doesn't have to be. Ever. Amen? Verse 34, John 8, verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, that's our parole from sin's curse. So why are so many Christians living out the curse, like I shared about the pastor's meeting? Why do we see it all around? Number one, people believe they deserve it. Christians, I mean. They believe they deserve it. They believe they deserve the curse. They deserve the effects. They deserve the symptoms. They deserve the lack. They deserve the penalties because they're still paying for what Jesus already paid for. That's a reality. And they believe that they have to do that. They deserve it. A curse without cause, a curse not deserved, will not come. Guess what? The curse breaker has removed what we used to deserve. This is done. Number two, the reason why so many Christians are living out the curse in their lives is because they've accepted it. It's the truth. It's got to be mine. It's a reality. I have to have it. And there's reasons that they've accepted it. And it has to do a lot of times with how they feel, or it has to do with what they've been taught. So consequently, they put themselves under the effects of the curse. And they don't have to. And in some ways have denied what Jesus accomplished for us. Can you imagine denying the benefits of being freed from the curse? But people do it. Lastly, and this is the sad part, it's all sad, is they've been taught it. Have you ever heard the, well, we used to get this all the time. It's in Malachi 3. If you've been around and been a believer for any length of time, you've probably heard this. Will a man or woman rob God? Bring your tithes into the storehouse, and I'll rebuke the devourer. Otherwise, you're cursed. Well, I hate to tell you this. No, I don't hate to tell you this. That's not true. But it's taught. It's still taught. You see, the curse breaker has removed what we deserved. Because we're not under the law of righteousness. We are under the grace of God by faith in Jesus, his performance, what he's done, what he's completed, what's finished. And the only thing left are the blessings. People live under the curse and live out the curse because of ignorance of the truth. Because they've got blended doctrine, law and grace. Because of unbelief. Because they believe for the curse. Because they're guilty about their past. You know, your past has been wiped away. When you become born again, new creation. Because there's shame. Jesus bore our shame. Man, when he was hanging on the cross, you know he was naked? He was naked. He didn't have any loincloth. It was to point shame at him. And he was so disfigured, he was unrecognizable as a human being when he became sin. That's what sin does, and that's what the curse does. He redeemed us from that. Families. Because Christians are living under the curse, because families pass it down. Instead of breaking it, refusing it, rejecting it, families pass it down to each other and expect it. Christians live under the curse because of condemnation they will not throw off. If there truly is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, then why are Christians still living in it? It's part of the curse. Jesus was condemned for us. And it's a part of the curse. People live under the curse because they continually, regularly see themselves as the old person still under sin's curse instead of that new creation where old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's why people still live, Christians still live under the curse. Easter and the crucifixion. Now the resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection is coming. The crucifixion was our parole from sin's curse. So we can truly say, a curse without cause, without reason, will not come to me. Will not come to you. No more. Not part of your life, not part of my life. No more reason for it. Romans 12, verse 2. I want to end with this. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove out, be evident in your life, that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You know, part of that is to live under the blessing, not the curse. When we put ourselves under what Jesus has paid for us, redeemed us from, when we start living, thinking, operating in aspects of the curse, in reality, we're saying what you did and your performance on the cross for me, because I can't do any of this, wasn't good enough. When we live in guilt and condemnation and shame, we say, Your performance was not enough. When we live in all these areas, I'm not talking about walking through healings and walking through this learning and the understanding, because all of a sudden what happens is the switch comes on and we get it. We get a revelation, we get understanding, and the truth of the word sinks in and we go, oh my gosh, that's not mine anymore. And we begin to see healing or prosperity or deliverance take place in our lives. I'm talking about willfully staying under the curse when we know better. If you're staying under the curse, and this is for the podcast, if you're staying under the curse, get out of it. Come out. You've been freed. You don't have to live like that anymore. This is where the law of faith kicks in. There is a law of faith. You know, there's a number of laws in the New Testament. It's a reality. One of them is, in Romans, the law of faith. That is, I believe with all my heart that what Jesus paid for me is mine. Right now.
Amen.
When I got born again, if you go back to Deuteronomy 28, read it. Read what the blessings and the curses are. When I got born again, I know in my heart that I was freed from all of the aspects of the curse. Period. Period. And my life, and this is for me, my life will reflect that. Because I believe it. And I believe what Jesus did. I believe what he became. I believe his performance far surpassed whatever I could do in righteousness. I believe that. And I accept it. Guess what? I've moved out of the curse into the law of faith and faith righteousness in him. We have to be transformed in our thinking. Our thinking has to go from a curse mentality, because a curse without cause will not come. From a curse mentality into a blessing mentality. That happens with Romans 12, verse 2. We've got to make the exchange in our minds, our thinking, and meditate on the reality of the truth in him, so that this truth can reach our heart. It really can reach to the core of our being. And we can start seeing the visible changes in our lives. We do not ever have to live under the effects of the curse ever again. Nobody here that's born again. Period. And we don't have to accept it anymore or tolerate it. You have to remember that your performance for the blessing is never the measuring line. Anymore. Faith in Jesus' performance is the only measuring line there is. And he accomplished it all. So when we see the cross, and we see a lot of it during this particular time, when you see the cross, and you look at it and you remember that Jesus has redeemed us through this ugly, foul thing and what he became. He redeemed us. Redeemed us to buy back from the curse by becoming cursed for us. And he paroled us from sin's curse and all the effects forever. The cross is a memorial stone. You look at it and you remember every time what he did. Amen?
Amen.
Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on up. Now, I believe, prayer team, I'm going to give you some instruction today. I believe that today you are to break the effects of any curses in somebody's lives. You, in your faith, are to break the effects of anything operating as a curse in somebody's life today and see the changes and see the miraculous. See understanding change. Now, whether it's in a family or whether it's in an individual or whether it's poverty or whether it's a struggle of some kind that is the result of the curse, it's time to take your authority when they put their faith with you and speak against and break the effects of any result of the curse, because a curse without cause cannot come. It cannot. Period. We don't live there anymore. Doesn't belong to us. Jesus became cursed for us. So you, as vessels of faith, of Jesus who is alive in you and alive in them, today there'll be some deliverance from any adverse effect of the curse. Today. Right now. Anybody want to do a little curse breaking? Can you raise your hands? Can I see? Would you come on up right now? Let's do it. Let's just get it done. That's what this is about. Go ahead and pick somebody. Get in front of somebody. There's no curse, no effect of the curse that belongs to you anymore. In any way, shape, or form. Come on up. Keep coming. Grab somebody. I believe it's necessary that we do this right now and be very strategic about what we do. This is where the miraculous happens. You know, we're big on the supernatural here because we can't do any of this stuff. But Jesus does it all the time. Continually. So let's close and we'll let the Lord work here. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom from the curse and all its effects. Thank you for taking the judgment, that the penalties, the curse that we deserved on you. Thank you, Lord, that we no longer deserve the curse, but you've transferred us under your protection and into the blessings. All of them. And we accept it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.